how were you led to music?
Oh, the Backyardigans, 100%.
The Backyardigans. Yes.
It was the best show.
Yes.
It was the best show. I can't. Oh, it was magnum opus, best children's show of all time. Underrated.
Yes.
Yes. It was incredible. It was the best stuff. Pablo is my homeboy. Love that man. Yes. We stan Austin. But yes. Like, all of the different genres. Yes. Yes. All of the different genres. All of the different moods and feels.
Welcome to Real FM Rewind,
B-side,
where we hit the rewind button to catch up and pause to go a little deeper. Here's Anson, Kara, and Zoe.
Hey, Zoe here, and we're doing things a little bit differently this time. Sadly, no Anson, no Kara. It's me and a special guest, an artist we play here on Real FM, Sam Bowman. And I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. Welcome, Sam Bowman, to Real FM. So glad you're here.
So fun to be here.
I'm so excited. If you do not know who Sam Bowman is, he is a music artist, and we play a few of his songs here on Real FM. He's got a single we play here called Whisper. It's a song that I really love. And then he's got a couple other songs here on Real FM, Always Will Be, paired with Christian Singleton, and Someone, also with Xander Zalos. So I feel like I'm seeing a trend with some of your music. You seem to like to collaborate with other artists.
It's such a blast. And it kind of goes back to a philosophy that I have about music, in that God really created it to enjoy the company of other people, among a lot of other things. And so I'm like, man, if I get an opportunity to collaborate with some of my friends musically, I'm going to take that opportunity. And Christian and Xander are both dear friends. I know I work a lot with Matthew Parker, who you might have heard of. I'm actually wearing J-Steph merch today. So that's kind of fun. That wasn't even planned. But I just produced his album, and that was absolutely a blast. Ben Lawrence is a dear friend. Plenty of friends that I've gotten the chance to work with over the years, and it just introduces so much. It introduces such a fun aspect to the songs. It's not isolating to create in the same way. So it's a real pleasure.
Yeah, I'm kind of similar when it comes to creativity. I find it kind of almost draining to be by myself creatively. I love working with other people and bouncing ideas off of each other. So I was like, oh, that's so cool that he works with so many different people. And I think you've just recently released an album. Is that correct? Or you've got one called Gravity, and then there's another one called Lancelot. And we can talk about each one individually. But first, I did just listen to Gravity, the song. And wow, that is a That was really good. So if we want to even just start there with the song Gravity, I know that's new, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Gravity, I think, just turned a month old.
Oh, okay.
So it's very new. It's a very tiny baby of a song. And I loved making it. It was definitely based on that more the Band Camino style pop sound. And it kind of revolves around Colossians 1, where it talks about Christ holding all things together, and through him and for him, all things were made. And so, like, as a young 20-something writing to a lot of young 20-somethings, it's easy to be in this stage of life and go, man, I don't know which way is up. I need something grounding to hold me down, and I need a sense of gravity. And to know that the universe was made by and for Jesus, and whatever happens in a pretty turbulent stage of life, knowing that everything is intended for his purposes and his glory, there's comfort that comes from that. And so I wanted to be able to talk about that in a way that was also like, hey, this song is dope, and I could get it stuck in my head and listen again. So I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah. And that was definitely something that I found comforting, as well as like a good headbanger, you know, like it's very catchy, like you said, but also that comfort of like, I'm grounded. I have something to hold on to. I agree with you. I feel like in our culture, especially with young adults right now, there seems to be a struggle with what is right, what is wrong, what is truth. Nothing seems to be true anymore. And there's like no foundation to base our lives and build them upon. So I love that's such a great song. But then if we want to unpack, maybe talk a bit about, it's an album, right? Gravity as well.
So I'm building out an album as of right now. So Gravity is not an album. Gravity and Lancelot are two singles that are part of a larger project that probably won't be out for another year. Like around the year-ish range. The thing is about my discography, There's lore. There is a deep connection between most of the songs that I've written. Mm. And you'll find lyrics that call back to other songs. An example is that Lancelot, the song that I just put out a week ago, is part two to a song that I wrote a year ago called Hero. And they're pretty intimately related with each other in terms of their content material, their style, their mood, etc. And so when you do that, people get really interested when it comes to like, oh, what's the next album about? And so there's a lot of speculation with people that follow my music closely, like, when's the next album happening? What's it about? Etc. And it's really fun. And it's fun to see people invested in the story. So that's been really sweet. But yeah, my most previous album was a record called Ghost. And I put that out in July of 2023. And you talk about, like, especially in our culture today, there's just so much of a what is right, what is wrong, what's true, what's false aspect of it. That's what that record was really about in terms of we live in a world that's broken by sin and we're flawed people. And we hear voices in our culture, in our own minds, in our own hearts from the enemy that seek to deceive us about who Jesus is and what he wants from us, who we are in light of that. And for that album, I chose to personify those voices as ghosts. We're haunted by lies and deception. We hear whispers in the corners of our minds.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in. the song Whisper that you were talking about earlier that maybe some of your listeners might be familiar with. And that album, the whole point is to just unpack how many lies we're actually told in our culture. We get a chance to say, no, we reject those lies. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is, not who these voices say that he is, not who we think he is, but who he says he is. And in light of that, we get to live in unparalleled joy. And that's a sweet thing. And so, yeah, that was my most recent album. It's long, but it was so much fun to put together. Gravity and Lancelot are newer and kind of the follow-up to those ideas. And so I'm excited to see how people react to it. I'm excited to see, I just want it to be an encouragement for folks.
That's
the end game.
Yeah, for sure. And just in talking with you and your creative process, you know, how you created this one album, Ghosts, I love that you had like a vision of what you wanted to communicate. I don't know, my degree is in communication, so I get very passionate about ways of communicating, storytelling, and
the fact that... Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, and so the fact that you're using your songs, like, you know, very catchy, upbeat, you know, music that we can listen to while we drive, but you're also got some intention and some purpose behind it too. And I think that's a real strength, right? Because once you've got like this vision for the holistic picture, right? Like the album is going to be communicating this. I don't know. That just gets my creative like brain thinking, oh, that's so cool the way that you've, you know, laid this out. And then with this new album now that is going to take like a year to build out and stuff, are you able to tease what the focus, what the center might be? Because Lancelot is about, you know, I saw it's about like Samson kind of. I don't know if that's a spoiler.
It's not at all.
But it's like Samson and it's like talking about heroism and stuff like that. And Gravity is about being held by God. So I'm wondering, what's the through line here, if there is one?
There is one, and it's my most creatively ambitious through line, and it deals with an idea that we think about a lot in a different way, that I'm convinced scripturally we need to be able to address this idea on this level if we're going to get anywhere in our sanctification. And that's about all I'm going to say. I think the last 30 seconds of the Ghost album teases this next third project, probably better than I can do it right now.
Fair enough. We'll just have to wait and keep piecing it together. And it's funny that you say you kind of are building out this lore, this like kind of like stuff you have to piece together. And I think that's something, I don't know, I'm a part of different communities that love doing that puzzle hunting of like, here's a little bit here, here's a little bit here, and you kind of build it out together. So I think that really makes it really fun and engaging and community building. And that's just a cool thing that you've designed for your music.
That's the whole goal, because I want it to be fun. Like, I want people to enjoy their time spent with my stuff. Every year, and some of y'all might be familiar, that Spotify artists get like a little thing back from Spotify saying, hey, you put some songs on here and people listened this many times from this many countries. But what gets me every year is the amount of time that people spend with my music. That's staggering. And to look at that, it kind of does and should be kind of a source of holy fear. Like, man, if you are not in scripture, if you're not talking to people, you're just listening to my music, it had better be worth your time. I really want my listeners to come away from my music better than I found them. And like, you can't hold the entire weight of that responsibility on yourself as an artist. I understand that. And I also understand that people multitask. People listen to music and do other things like study. Mm-hmm. But if people aren't going to be reading the word while listening to music, then I want my music to point them back to the word, the ultimate art form, just in ways that I can. And converting your discography into a semi-ARG is just fun. It's just fun.
Yes,
It's fun to build a story, to get people invested, and to say something that means something. We've lost ambition in art in so many ways, especially the temptation is to do that in the pop and electronic space. We can really embrace the sleekness of electronic pop and how intuitive it is to understand and create, but we can also have ambition when it comes to the way that we tell stories or telling stories at all. The art form itself, we can say stuff not to be educational or give a lesson, but to impart the human experience in this genre. I really think there's hope for that. And so trying to create in that way has been really challenging and fun.
Yeah, challenging and fun. And speaking of the genre that you're playing with, this is something that I think is really cool about being here at Real FM, is we do have like this variety of music that is like, it, like a lot of artists, like they're Christian artists, right? So we get to play them, but we're playing a different flavor of Christian music. You know, that's what we say. It's different flavor. We get the pop, the hip hop, the rap music. And so what have you found in your experience of being a Christian artist who's doing, quote unquote, not very, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the stereotypical Christian sounding music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, there's so many ways I could take this question. Because it's just been interesting to be a listener of Christian music for so long and then enter the field of creating it. And you see some things that are going on within the industry, within the art form. There are all sorts of interesting things to keep track of. Like, it's really, on the one end, been really humbling to be even considered. Like, hey, he's a music artist and he makes Christian music. Like, that, those adjectives didn't really go with my name a couple years ago. And so, like, that's really cool and an honor. So that's one dimension of it. Another is, like, the idea of Christian music is already interesting to me. Sometimes I talk to my friends along the lines of, like, so if you're writing a song and you mentioned that the sky is blue, right? That doesn't make it a science song. That makes it a song that's just observant of reality.
Yeah.
I believe in the core of my being that everything I am is meant to serve Jesus Christ, because I'm not going to get any more joy doing anything else. Everything I am is intended for him, and he's the master of all things, and his word is perfect. I believe those things. I think that's just truth. So if my songs happen to observe those things, those are just observant songs. They don't need to accommodate to a certain culture or sound. They're just observing reality in light of how God intended it to be. They're set apart from the world. We're called to be set apart from the world. But there are different ways to approach God's sovereignty and Christ's sacrifice and the gospel and sanctification and the role of the church in all of these songs that just differs on so many levels. Maybe Always Will Be and Someone are two great examples. We don't really talk about God a whole ton in Someone That's the song featuring Xander mm-hmm. that we worked on together. We don't really talk about God a ton, but it is a scriptural principle that we can't do this stuff alone. We need each other.
Yeah.
And all of that has to submit to God's desire for his people. Always will be on the other end. Is kind of exclusively written to God, talking about the doctrine of his immutability. That's just a big fancy word for he don't change.
He don't change.
A lot of things change. He don't change. Mm-hmm. So you can have songs talking about how God intended people to be. You can have songs talking about attributes of God's nature himself. Both I would consider to be Christian songs, but even more than that, I would say that they're songs that accommodate to a Christian worldview and songs that you can't get without a Christian worldview. So right. I don't know. That's a bit of a roundabout way of answering your question.
No, I love it. I love the deep dives and the discussion. Yeah. And to kind of pivot a little bit, I want to get back to you as an artist. Like, what inspired you to turn to music? You've talked about your passion for Jesus and how you're doing everything for the Lord, which is like, oh man, I need to check my passion, because that is some inspiring passion right there. How were you led to music?
Oh, the Backyardigans, 100%.
The Backyardigans, yes.
It was the best show.
Yes.
It was the best show. I can't. It was magnum opus, best children's show of all time. Underrated.
Yes.
Yes. It was incredible. It was the best stuff. Pablo is my homeboy. Love that man. Yes. We stan Austin, but yes. Like. All of the different genres. Yes.
Yes.
All of the different genres, all of the mm-hmm. different moods and feels. Yes. Like, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to learn what flamenco music was if it weren't for like the Night at the Museum spoof episode that they did. Like,
oh my gosh.
There's so much stuff that I learned about classical, like more international styles of music, deep cuts when it comes to American music. It pushed me as a 7-year-old to understand, like, there are so many different styles of music and theory and chord structures and phrasings that I just adored as a little kid. And like, that makes me sound extra, maybe because I definitely am, but like, I don't know. I didn't know anything at the time other than, hey, this is different and I love it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just makes me feel good. And I don't know. As I kind of matured and kind of got interested in piano a little bit, I'm like, hey, I can kind of imitate what I'm learning from music on the radio and music in TV shows. And what makes me like the things that I like musically? I just got really interested in that. When I was, oh goodness, I think I was 13. I got GarageBand on a really old family iPad. So it's not even GarageBand on the computer.
Yeah.
It's GarageBand on the iPad that
yeah.
really can't do anything. You're limited to like 8 tracks.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, for reference, I think I use upwards of 150 to 200. So like you can't do anything
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
But I had so much fun building out beats. And I'm like, man, you can like arrange stuff. And was it good? No, it was not good. But it was still a chance to create and to self-express
yes,
and to take right. a concept and play it out till its end. A year later, I got FL Studio, and I've been using that to produce since.
Wow. Okay, so since you were 14, you've been using the same software. Wow.
Yeah. It's really powerful, and I love it to death. It's so much fun. It's weird, and it's very Belgian. But it's... it's so much fun. I love it to death. So, yeah, that's kind of like what inspired me to get into artistry and get into creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool, man. Backyardigans. I was not expecting that, but it also tracks. If... like, that show slaps. It was a good show.
It was awesome. It was the best show.
Yes. Okay. I want to wrap up with this one question that I might make a staple if I keep getting the opportunity and honor to interview music guests. But who is yeah. one person, if you could collaborate with anyone, and you already collaborate with a lot of people, so I don't
so
know
many.
Who you're going to pick, but if you could collaborate with any artist, who would you collaborate with?
Man. I'm going to need to sit and think about this one.
Yeah.
Because you can answer this question a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And people
you could do
are
a
like,
fantasy answer. Like, you could do a real answer. There's yeah, ways you could take it.
I'm going to say, okay. Deep cut of a book character. And some of your listeners, I kind of feel would be familiar, but I'd like Armalyn the Bard from the Wingfeather Saga on board for this track. Yeah. And so I don't know if you know who Andrew Peterson is. He wrote a fantastic fantasy series. I'm going to say Armalyn the Bard. If it comes to real life people.
Yes.
Now, I'm sorry if y'all thought Armalyn was real life. I don't think he is. If he is, I haven't met him. Mm-hmm. Man, I've kind of worked with like all of my dream collabs at this point. Like,
yeah, you've already
writing
reached
songs,
the height.
Right. Like writing songs with friends is kind of the pinnacle of what music is even meant to be. So if there's someone new, it's a friend I haven't made yet. And then I'm looking forward to writing with them because it's just an extension of friendship. So.
Aw, that's so sweet. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Sam Bowman, for hanging out with me on Real FM. Where can people find you?
People can find me on all socials at Sam Bowman Music. That's at Sam, B-O-W-M-A-N Music. Also, Sam Bowman on Spotify, if you want to spend any of the time listening. I would be so grateful.
Find the lore.
Find all the lore if you want to. If you want to, you can find all the lore. But sincerely, thank you so much for having me on today. This is such a fun time to chat. And yeah, lots of fun times. So appreciate
lots
it.
Lots of fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Real FM Rewind. Make sure to check out all of our podcasts on the Real FM app or at real.fm. And don't forget, be kind and rewind.